Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from the Olivet Discourse Decoded video series. The videos were low-tech, mostly me just reading what's on the screen. So you're not missing much in the audio version. The Olivet Discourse Decoded PDFs that I refer to in the lessons can be found at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Enjoy the lesson. Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this lesson, I'm going to explain the fulfillment of Daniel 12, as it's directly related to the Olivet Discourse. Daniel was given the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy, which foretold the Jews' release from captivity in Babylon, the restoration of Jerusalem in the temple, and the proclamation that the Anointed One, Messiah, would appear in the 7th week of the prophecy. Daniel 9:26 points to Messiah being cut off, killed by a violent death, and that the temple and city would be destroyed. This caused Daniel such great distress that he mourned for 3 weeks, as he understood that the Jews would continue in their evil ways to kill the prophets who were sent to them. This directly relates to Messiah's rebuke of the Jewish leaders in Matthew 23, when he accused them of killing the prophets, as they sought to kill him too, and he proclaimed that judgment would come upon them in that generation. The judgment took place during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, when Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jewish nation were destroyed. 1.1 million Jews died in and around Jerusalem from famine, pestilence, infighting, suicide, evisceration, crucifixion, and by the Roman sword. The prophecy recorded in Daniel 12 represents a fresh communication to enable Daniel to understand matters about the Jews, which had not been disclosed in the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy. Daniel 12:1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So Michael is the protector of the remnant of believers, the true Israelites. He allowed judgment to be carried out against the unbelieving Jews. Still, he stood up against the enemy and delivered the believing Jews from the time of calamity during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD. The phrase, "and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time," matches the warning in Jeremiah 37, which says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And we can see a striking match between Daniel's words, "as never was," Jeremiah's words, "none is like it," and Messiah's words in Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." A remnant of Jews, such as Daniel, were in a covenant relationship with the Father, but most of them followed false gods and were disobedient, so the Father's wrath was against them. The time of Jacob's trouble had been foretold for many years, and it was fulfilled in the first century. Every Jew that believed the Messiah, whose name is written in the book of heaven, was delivered from the calamity as they heeded the sign of the abomination of desolation, the army surrounding Holy Jerusalem, and they fled to the mountains as Messiah told them to do. But the obstinate, unbelieving Jews stayed, as the prophecies in Daniel 12 were closed up and hidden from them so that they didn't know to flee. This is what the Apostle Paul is proclaiming in Romans 11:25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Paul is saying that the unbelieving Jews' eyes were blind, so that they could not see the coming destruction. The Gentiles being referred to is the Roman army, who flooded into Jerusalem and desolated the Jewish nation in 70 AD. In Romans 11:26, Paul is proclaiming that the true Israelites, the Jews who believed the Messiah for salvation, were saved from the Gentile Romans' desolation, as they fled to Pella for safety. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Paul is not talking about a dispensation period of the Gentiles. He's pointing to Jerusalem's desolation, and that the Jews, whose name is written in the book of life, were saved from the calamity. And when Cestius and his army surrounded Jerusalem in November 66 AD, they were ready to take Jerusalem captive. And then, abruptly, they left for no explained reason. The saints, the true Israel, heeded Messiah's warning about the abomination of desolation, and they fled to Pella and places beyond the Jordan River for safety. They were delivered out of the Roman Gentiles' hands, who desolated the unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem. We can see that the chosen people of Daniel 12 were the Jews who believed in Messiah, who were called the true Israelites, who were saved spiritually and physically. So indeed, all Israel was saved. Daniel 12:2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." This isn't about Messiah's second coming. Rather, it's about waking up people who are spiritually dead. If you're oblivious to scriptural truth, then you're asleep. When their spirit moves to arouse you out of that condition, you become awake. Luke 1:79 points to the Jewish people being in the shadow of death until John the Baptist preached repentance and brought them back to life. It says, "To give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." In John 5:25, Messiah said that the time had arrived for the spiritually dead to hear his voice, to accept them as their Messiah, so that they would be alive. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Paul affirmed this when he commanded those who were spiritually dead to rise. In Ephesians 5:14, he said, "Wherefore he says, Awake, thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Messiah, the light of the world, shined on them during his ministry, which occurred during the seventh week of Daniel 9. Some Jews accepted him as their Messiah and were saved to everlasting life, but most rejected him and were condemned. When Paul preached the gospel to the Jews in Antioch, they rejected his message. Acts 13:46 says, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So the Jewish nation was awakened out of their sleep after 400 years of silence when no prophets were sent to them. John the Baptist paved the way for Messiah in preaching repentance to wake them up out of their spiritual slumber, out of their death. Daniel 12:3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Messiah's disciples shine the light of the gospel, and many were saved. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Daniel 12:4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Daniel 9:26 says, "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." And Daniel 12:7 points to the scattering of the power of the holy people, the Jews. Daniel 12:9 says that this prophecy is sealed up until the time of the end, until the desolation of the Jewish nation. And this is not talking about the end of time, but the time of the end, of the latter days of the Jewish nation. The former days existed before they were taken into captivity in Babylon. But then their nation was gone. Their temple was desolated. Jerusalem was desolated. They were in captivity. So that was the former days. Then they were allowed to be freed from Babylonian captivity, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. So this is the latter days of the Jews. So those lasted from when they were released from Babylon in the 5th century BC until 70 AD. So the end is the Jewish siege against Judea in 70 AD. But these prophecies were hidden from the unbelieving Jews, lest they flee the coming destruction. John the Baptist reinforced this when he rebuked the Jewish leaders, pointing to the wrath to come upon them. Matthew 3:7 says, "But when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" The disciples alluded to the time of the end of the Jewish nation with their question in Matthew 24:3, which says, "And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world." And it should be translated as age. So what's the end of the Jewish age? The disciples understood from the prophecies in Daniel 9:26-27 that Jerusalem and the temple would be desolated, and the latter days of the Jewish nation effectively ended. So they were asking for the sign of when that would take place so that they could be out of harm's way. In referring to many running to and fro and knowledge being increased, the knowledge of the fulfillment of the law and prophets in Messiah greatly increased during Messiah's ministry. But the Jewish leaders' minds were shut up, and they could not see it or did not care. Knowledge came with Messiah and his disciples, who brought an understanding of the scriptures and their fulfillment in Messiah. Colossians 1:26-27 verifies the unveiling of knowledge. It says, "Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Knowledge increased as the gospel was preached, for it is the fulfillment of the prophets. James Farquharson said in a new illustration of the latter part of Daniel's last vision and prophecy from 1838, "The divine knowledge which the apostles and first Christians ran to and fro to communicate to all nations maintains and ever will maintain a lofty and unapproachable superiority over all the knowledge that man can discover for himself." In this way, then, the prediction of Daniel was literally fulfilled. The dayspring of true knowledge from on high waited upon the footsteps of the apostles of Christ as they traversed the Gentile world, dispelling darkness and doubt and fear and diffusing light and confidence and joy over every condition of human life. Daniel 12:5-6 says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Daniel persisted in wanting more information about the desolation of the Jews who would reject Messiah and deliver him up to be killed. Daniel 12:7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be fulfilled." The time, times, and half a time points to 3.5 years. So time is a year, times is 2 years, and half a time is half a year. And it's pointing to the Jewish-Roman War of 66-70 AD. More details were given to Daniel of it taking place in periods of 1290 and 1335 days. One day in prophecy does not always point to 1 year. This belief has caused much confusion with people's explanations, especially Seventh-day Adventists. We have to look at how history fulfills prophecy to see whether one day is just that or if one day points to 1 year. The holy people are the Jews and the scattering of their power. In the sun, moon, and stars video in this series, we saw that the Jewish leadership system was removed from power. They were darkened as the Roman army scattered them. We can see that this verse is about the judgment of the Jewish leadership system, referred to as the holy people. And we can look at history to see how this was played out from 66-70 AD. Daniel 12:7 lines up with Matthew 24:29, as the Jewish leadership system's power was darkened and effectively ended. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun, the high priest, be darkened, and the moon, the Sanhedrin, shall not give her light. And the stars, the priest system, shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Daniel 12:8 says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Daniel asked how the time of trouble, which was spoken of in verse 1, would end. It is the same period as that to which Messiah was referring to when he said in Luke 21:22, "These be the days of vengeance, that all these things are written may be fulfilled." So the time of Jacob's trouble was the end of the Jewish nation, and Daniel wanted more information as this thought was most grievous. Daniel 12:9 says, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." Again, it doesn't say the end of time, as in the last days, but the time of the end of the prophecy regarding the Jewish national existence, which ended in 70 AD, when the temple and Jerusalem were desolated. And this points back to Daniel 9:26, which says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." The Romans flooded into Jerusalem towards the end of the Jewish-Roman War of 66-70 AD. The words were sealed up and hidden from the wicked Jewish leaders so that they wouldn't understand them and escape their coming judgment. Daniel 12:10 says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." The angel is telling Daniel that many Jews would accept the promised Messiah who appeared in the 7th week of Daniel 9 to offer himself as the blood sacrifice to confirm the everlasting covenant. The precious blood of the spotless lamb made many pure, white, and refined. Matthew 26:28 says, "And he, Messiah, said to them, 'For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" The angel also told Daniel that wicked Jews would not understand the time of Messiah's visitation or that of their coming judgment. Messiah called the Jews a wicked people, matching Daniel's description in Daniel 9:27, which says, "And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." Now, it's a mouthful, but it's really easy to explain. The wicked Jews' abominations, so their overspreading of abominations, led to Messiah using the Roman army to desolate them. The consummation was the end of the Jewish nation in 70 AD. The determined judgment was foretold long before it took place. Matthew 16:4 says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." Messiah declared that the wicked Jews would be destroyed in his parable of the vineyard owner. Matthew 21:41 says, "They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons." Acts 2:23 points to the wicked Jews who delivered Messiah up to the Romans to be killed, says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." In Acts 7:51-52, Stephen is pressing the legal case against the wicked Jewish leaders. He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." The Jewish leaders stoned Stephen to death, fulfilling Messiah's rebuke to them. Matthew 23:32-36 says, "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." So the wicked Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be crucified. The wise Jews believed in Messiah and were saved to everlasting life, while the foolish Jews rejected him and were lost. The wise Jews heeded Messiah's warning and fled Judea after the sign of the abomination, the Roman army surrounding Jerusalem. The foolish Jews didn't understand what was coming, and false prophets deceived them, so they stayed and were desolated. Daniel 12:11-12 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,305 days. This tells us that the interval of time between when the abomination of desolation occurred and when the daily sacrifice was taken away is 1,290 days. And that the prophecy would be fulfilled in 1,335 days total. James Farquhar-Harson said in a new illustration of the latter part of Daniel's last vision and prophecy, "There is nothing whatever in the verbs of the sentence to indicate which of the events should precede the other. The interval of time between them only is expressed." So, in other words, it lists the temple sacrifices being stopped first and then the abomination of desolation, but it's just listing the two events and it's saying there's going to be 1290 days between them. The time that the daily sacrifice is taken away is the point of reckoning, as this meant that the temple had been breached by the enemy, by the Roman army in 70 AD. This is the end point, which was preceded by 1290 days, at which the abomination of desolation took place in November 66 AD. The first approach of the Roman armies under Cestius, the abomination of desolation, is described by Josephus. And then 1,290 days later, the Roman army breached the walls of Jerusalem and the daily sacrifice was taken away. Josephus noted the very day because it was such an important historical event. And now Titus gave orders to his soldiers that were with him to dig up the foundations of the Tower of Antonia and make a ready passage for his army to come up, while he himself had Josephus brought to him, for he had been informed that on that very day, which was the 17th day of Panemus, the sacrifice called the daily sacrifice had failed and had not been offered to God for want of men to offer it, and that the people were grievously troubled at it. Josephus noted that the pagan Romans carried out their victory ritual, and now the Romans, after the flight of the Jews from the holy house, brought their four ensigns into the temple and set them up at the eastern gate, and did make a sacrifice to them and made Titus imperator. 1,290 days had passed from when the abomination of desolation, the Roman army under Cestius, appeared in November 66 until the daily sacrifice was taken away in 70 AD. The Roman siege of Jerusalem lasted for 45 days. It ended suddenly and unexpectedly when Titus and his army were able to get possession of the upper part of Jerusalem after the last stronghold of Jews suddenly surrendered. This fulfilled the 1,335 days of the prophecy. Before their final demolition, Titus took a survey of the city and its fortifications, and while contemplating their impregnable strength, could not help ascribing his success to the peculiar interposition of the Almighty himself. He said, "Had not God himself aided our operations and driven the Jews from their fortresses, it would have been absolutely impossible to have taken them. For what could men and the force of engines done against such towers as these?" Daniel 12:13 says, "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days." After providing Daniel with the timing of the wicked Jews' judgment, the angel told Daniel to rest and not worry about it, for it's all part of the plan to redeem the set-apart ones and bring judgment on the rebellious ones. So we can see the match between what the angel told Daniel and Messiah's declaration about enduring until the end of the Jews' time of tribulation. Daniel 12:12 says, "Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,305 and 30 days." And Matthew 24:13 says, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." That those days were shortened by some divine interference is indicated by the abrupt and unexpected manner in which the last stronghold fell when the rebel leaders suddenly surrendered. Josephus recorded, "Did now wholly deprive themselves of the security they had in their own power, and came down from those very towers of their own accord, wherein they could never have been taken by force. They left those towers of themselves, or rather they were ejected out of them by God himself. The Romans, when they had gotten on the last wall without any bloodshed, could hardly believe what they found to be true. The last defenders managed to hide themselves in the sewer system. John of Gesala, one of the rebel leaders, was among the first to surrender. Another leader, Simon Bar Giora, remained in hiding for some time, but finally made a dramatic appearance on the place where the temple had stood, dressed in a white priestly tunic and his royal purple mantle. Regarding the promised blessing of Daniel 12:12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. The saints remained safe in Pella during Jerusalem's siege." Messiah referred to the same period of unequal distress. He said in Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." As you can see, the prophecies in Daniel 12 describe the desolation of the unbelieving Jews and Jerusalem in 70 AD, not a future tribulation period that affects the whole world. We can see how the prophecy in Daniel 12 is directly related to Messiah's Olivet Discourse, that during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, the Jews suffered great tribulation, primarily at their own hands during civil wars. See, when the abomination of desolation took place in November 66 and that the temple sacrifices were stopped 1,290 days later. We see that the siege lasted 45 days and ended abruptly when the last stronghold of Jewish rebels suddenly surrendered, which fulfilled the 1,335 days. Thank you for listening to this Olivet Discourse Decoded audio. You can save and print Olivet Discourse Decoded PDF summaries. You can request a free copy of the Olivet Discourse Decoded book or order a printed copy at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Please share this podcast audio with others so that they can see the glory of Messiah in the fulfillment. I love y'all. Shalom.